You guys can come and grab a seat. Youth, enjoy that. Youth. I'm so excited. All of the words just add to what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us about today. And so I want to jump into that. If you can just give me 1 second. Why is it that we ask the Holy Spirit to speak and confirm words? It's obviously because God doesn't speak through the pastor. God speaks through His Word and Spirit. Yes, I'm privileged enough to do this job for the season that God allows. But God speaks through His children, His sons and daughters. And He does so in line with His Word always and through His Holy Spirit. And that I love. In fact, I think an ideal church service would be that we just keep on like this. And that God just confirms the words to people, speaking to their hearts, speaking to their situations. Even bring conviction and ask for repentance. And just keeps on speaking prophetically to us. And so I hope this will just be an extension of that which the Lord has on His heart. At the top was something. We just lost it. But anyway, on the top there in brilliant font was written, an ever-present help. And it's so beautiful, exactly where Sam out. It's exactly what Sam just said. God being an ever-present help. I'm going to pray, and we're going to spend some time in the Word together. I'm going to keep it short, and then we're going to have communion. We're going to prepare our hearts, and we're going to have communion. Trust that God has an appointment with each and every one of us. Please close your eyes. Lord, thank You that You confirm what is on Your heart. Thank You that You speak. And above all, Lord, that today's message will not be something that we merely download and receive cognitive, Lord, but I pray that it will be seed, spiritual substance, a momentum of faith from the Spirit of God that changes lives. That's what I pray for. Nothing else. Thank You, Lord. Humanly, it is impossible. But all things are possible with God. Lord, You can come and speak into hearts, download revelation, and empower us fully to walk in what You have had planned for today. Spirit of God, have Your way. Spirit of God, have Your way. Have Your way. Amen. You know, I like to say that you can rarely ever preach the same sermon again, can you? Can you really preach the same sermon again? Some guys really do it brilliantly. The evangelist does it brilliantly. You take Billy Graham, I think it was a handful of sermons did, and millions lives was changed. But not everybody's got that anointing and privilege. And so, whatever God says to me, it needs to be fresh. And it's usually birthed from something that I've lived through and something that God is either revealing or revealed to me. And I believe authority in the Spirit, when you can really speak about a subject or when you convey a message and it truly bears power and witness, is when you have authority and when you've actually lived through it. Now, most of that for me then obviously is works in progress. But today I can honestly say, guys, I am preaching out of a place of need. This was born out of my own personal need. And I'm definitely not standing here saying, shh, I've got this one tied down, so let me just quickly give you the facts to change your life. Now, this one is truly born, as many others, but this one is truly born out of my own need. And so I want you to partner with me just in being real today. Anybody in the house that needs some help now and again? Richard, Eleanor didn't even put up a hand. She was like, her whole body probably just went up. They've got about 40 kids. Guess you might need some help now and again. For the rest of you guys, you don't need as much help, but we all need help. And so when I asked the Lord, fresh word, what are you saying this morning? What do you want to say to your people? What do you want to say to us? I just heard the word helper. 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 That's all. He didn't give me more. but it really rammed in my own heart. A couple of weeks back, I preached on perfect love casting out fear. You can go to the... Hey, it's back. Praise God. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Man, I enjoyed that Sunday. I really enjoyed preparation. I never knew. I've quoted it many times in warfare. Perfect love casts out fear. But I never knew. What the heck is perfect love, actually? And so we stood still. We looked at what is perfect love. It is abiding wholeheartedly, 24/7, abiding in God. And then for love not to stop with me. Not just receiving love from God, but effectively loving my neighbor as well. Only then, when I also not only receive love, but when I walk in love, when it's not dammed up, but when I'm a river of love, love is perfected. And so I can honestly and authority take on fear. So if you didn't listen or hear that message, as soon as it's up, we'll tell you. But please, if fear is something that you might struggle with now and again, go and listen to that one and the prior one of Bernie about, what was it? Torment in the testing of the Lord. Really enjoyed that. And then a week before that, and that's where I want to kick off today, we spoke about waiting. All Christians, there's a couple of you that weren't here that day, but which of you that truly state that I am a Christian have not gone through a season of waiting? Or maybe ask this, let's be nice. Who's in a waiting season at the moment, waiting for something from the Lord? Dominique Nixon. Dominique's also waiting. Everybody here, almost everybody here, probably not, somebody's breakthrough might have come through this morning, I don't know. The worship was good. But everybody faces times of waiting with the Lord, and it's really part of the gospel. And if we don't, when somebody gives their life to the Lord, if we do not teach them and in love warn them that there'll be waiting seasons in your life, we're doing them an injustice, and it's really not love, because that's probably one of the biggest things of my life and my journey. God speaks some promises. He gives something, and I'm heading for it with the Lord, but I'm waiting. And every season, and in that season, He just brings forth character. He tests, He prunes, He fathers, He disciplines. Until the next time, and then, guess what? It happens again. You go into seasons of waiting, and you see it all through the Word. All through the Word. And so that's something we need to remember. Those who wait upon the Lord, that waiting, we said, is actually being tied together. How beautiful. If you're waiting, you're not wasting time. You're being tied together with the Lord if you let Him and if you soften your heart. If you're humble in the waiting, you're being tied with the Lord. If you're prideful and if you've got a hardened heart in the waiting, what happens? You die in the desert. Hey, exciting kids, hey? You die in the desert. So the Israelites taught us. If you harden your heart and say, what are you doing, God? God will obviously lovingly say, hey, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. And try to woo you out of that space where your heart wants to become better, but be careful. Obviously, we're in a new covenant dispensation. Hopefully, you don't die in the desert. But the thing is, we need to keep our heart soft in the waiting as it gets, as we get bound together with the Lord. God is the only God, Isaiah 64:4 says, that acts on behalf of those who wait upon Him. Please take that as a promise. If you don't even listen to the rest of the sermon, just please, no, please do. Please do. But take that home. God is the only God who acts upon. Go read Isaiah 64:4. God is the only God who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. Wait full of faith. Not with unbelief, not a heart, not full of faith. We wait for Him. And out of waiting comes help. Comes the word help. Remember this word help, and that's where we're going to kick off today. Just quickly to see if everybody's awake. The men in the house, have you heard this ridiculous lie that men don't ask for directions? Who's ever heard that? Is that so? JP, is it so? Is it so that men would not ask for directions? AB, kijk me weg. AB? Not. AB says, wat praat die man vandaag? Now, apparently it is the case that men do not ask for directions. But you know what? And please, it might be a joke, but remember this. We're in life. We have a GPS. We have got those anointed ones, fruit-bearing, loving people around us. And then we've got the Spirit of the Lord. But the question is, Are you willing to ask for directions? Will you be humble enough to stop and say, "Skies, ek weet nie waartoe om te Philip sê nie. Wat het met jou arm gebeur, bud?" Just checking. But it is a matter of just asking for directions, asking for help. Why was Moses wandering through the desert for 40 years? The joke goes, because men refused to ask for directions. Now apparently the Bible would have been a totally different story if Moses had just stopped to ask for directions. It is just a joke. Please don't base your theology on that. It's just a joke. But the bottom line is that we might laugh tongue in cheek, but sometimes we get stuck in a 40-year desert in life. Because I'm not willing to use the help that I've been given by the Lord. And today that is it. It's just to, as I said, I'm speaking, I'm sharing, I'm preaching out of my own need. But I want to say, hey guys, let's stop and let's just quickly ask each other, how is it really going with you? How are you really doing? How are you really doing? Any takers, by the way, for that question? How are you really doing? Even the positive ones, we can face that. AB on holiday. Yeah, AB says it means Monday, elke dag is a vakantie dag. I don't know even if Natasha knows that, but he says, oh, she knows that. Oh, praise the Here. Okay, so you guys are in a good space, but the rest of us, how are you really doing? Edna says it's not the holiday every day. Yeah, she's definitely not in the A-size holiday at the moment. But it might just be something to kick off, something that I want to share today, but I want you to answer yourself. How are you really doing? Willem Signey. Dan glimlach hy. Dan sig hy weer. He says it's better today than yesterday. It's a nice Christian answer. How's Christianity for you? Maybe we're going a bit deeper now. It's working. Amen. Not everybody would say that. Hey, we're in a church. We don't. Please, if there's anything here, just let's just take it off quickly. How are you really doing? Yes, just quickly take the facade off if there's any. Yeah, you can. How are you doing? Be drawn by Him. Amen. Anybody else? How are you really doing? Who's acing it? Who's acing life at the moment? Come on, it should be that way. Christ came to what? Give life and life in abundance. Who's living life and life in abundance? There's battles. There's trouble. There's needing for the psalmist to say, God's hand comes down, reaches down to save me out of the waters. There's a reason Sam had to quote that. Anybody else? How are you doing? She's getting married next week. It's probably brilliant. Woohoo! Give her a hand. Yes. Amen. 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 And the biggest goal, the fire himself, is here today as well. Thank you, Kieran. Thank you. That's brilliant. And it's honest. And I want to say this should be a safe space where we can be honest. Life is not that easy. We're not going to go into the wrong direction. This is not going to go south. It's going to go somewhere. And God has given us an answer. He's given us help. But it's good to have a fair and good reflection. And yes, it's exactly that. I also sense people are weary and they might be tired. Yes, Natasha. Amen. Okay, relate. Amen. Amen. I feel like that picture sometimes as well, except for the high heels. Don't do high heels. Or at least not on ropes. That's a joke, by the way. Don't go down that road. Yes. Amen. 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 No, we don't. Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. And like I've said before, and I think, thank you for the honest, I didn't even prepare in wanting to stop here. This is not a stop, but I just realized it's necessary. And I believe the Spirit wants to stop here. And thank you for the honest reflections, because as you guys share, I believe everybody has an honest reflection and a moment now. But praise God, that's not why we're here. That's not why we follow Christ. That's not why He died and was rose again, for us to stay in this place, but just to come to a place where we're honest and say, okay, Lord, we see your word, we see what you've done, we've seen what you've given to us. Please help us now to connect the dots. Please come, Lord. If it's something we can surrender and lay down, whatever it is, and I believe, by the way, just quickly bear with me, it's going to be different things for different people. You don't have a catch-all sermon that you're going to cover and everybody's going to walk out of here, yes, the Here has met my need. It's different things. I was down and out in the week, and there was a sermon of a guy that stood in faith over a prophecy that God had given him for 14 years, and how God just came through in spite of his unbelief, in spite of his hurt. And that sermon just so spoke to me. And it just flipped the switch back to a place where I could believe and trust the Lord as a child, as a son. Let's move on and go to the next one. So we've realized that we need help, and in life you need help. Christianity, as such, is one that we need help. We're called to be victorious. We're called to conquer the nations and have the nations as our inheritance. We're called to walk with miracle signs and wonders following us. And yes, you see that often. But unfortunately, we need to be honest, it's not always the case. But then we can stop and say, Lord, okay, cool. Will you please help us? I'm willing to let any facades go, any religious junk I lay down. I can become honest before you, Lord. I can become naked before you, God, and be honest about this. Please, this needs to stop. Please come in power. Please come and help. It all started off for me this week in just Psalm 46, 1-3. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. May this word pierce your hearts in a good sense. May this be sown in your spirits now. An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. In other words, if life happens, God is the ever-present help in need. Please say, ever-present help in need. Amen. Ever-present help in need. And so the word was just birthed from that place. Our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. And so I think we're on the same page and we can move on, because it's quite evident that we all need some help. But we're not victims. We're not called to stay in that hollow place and say, oh, let's go to church and tell each other how tough life is. No. Yes, we take those moments. And then we say, Lord, come. If conviction, repentance, if empowerment, if the truth of the word, if the spirit, the baptism, whatever is needed, Lord, have your way so that we can walk in the fullness. The road is narrow and few find it. But please, Lord, we want to be some of those few. We want to walk that road in the fullness of your spirit. Hebrews 13:6 says, this is Paul referring to David. Even so, it's a guy in the New Testament referring to a guy in the Old Testament. Both said the same thing. Just showing, and if those two guys, those two legends, needed some help, with all due respect, so do we. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. My faith, my trust this morning of the Lord and of the Spirit is that those words, the Lord is my helper, does not get stuck here with any of us. But that this short yet very long road, it will travel to be an absolute revelation and a truth. And that you will see the fruit being born in your own life, that God is my helper. God is my helper. I know we all know the word help. Just quickly, this is pretty obvious. Who is the helper in the Trinity? Who's the helper according to Scripture? The Holy Spirit. So yes, we're going to unpack and just quickly look at. This is not like we're having Bible school, please. I'm not going to refer to that. I know everybody, there's just two, three things that stood out that we're going to share today. Today is not as much a teaching as I trust the Lord that He will empower His people. Firstly, to be honest, to be truthful, and then to be changed. And empowered. Help. What is help? Help is, you can go to the next one, please. There's a definition for help. After that, thank you so much. Help is, just in short, it's aid, to lend strength, to lend means of deliverance. How often we need deliverance in situations, in life. To give assistance, to give support, to carry the weight of. Hey? Whatever it is that you're doing, if it's finance, or your work, or your family, or relational issues, or sickness, health, whatever the case may be, man, it is so nice when somebody else comes along and carries the weight, isn't it? We're in a season, myself and Edna, where help has just become a whole new word. The definition has changed. The boundaries have been extended of what help and need really is in our home, because it is quite tough. And I like you just to remember this. Help means to do for someone what he or she cannot do for him or herself. What is help? Help, true help is just this, that somebody does for you what you can't do for yourself. What did Jesus do? Jesus came and helped us. We could never be reconnected with the Lord. We could never fulfill the law in the flesh, but Jesus came and He helped us first. And so a humble heart needs to be reminded that we need help. The third point is, nothing else will do. Guys, this is just quickly what I've said, and maybe wrongly, in a South African context or culture, you might have grown up, maybe even if you're Afrikaans, more traditional, it might have been the case where you do your best, God does the rest. But that's not biblical, firstly and foremostly. Or it's a case of, you just do everything you can, you just work hard, and when the wheels come off, you ask for help. But I want to put it to you that the help that the Lord extends to us is not just a good idea, it's a necessity. You cannot truly live, you cannot do life without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat this, this might sound very obvious. But you cannot do life, and you can for most certainly not do Christianity without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, but God would not have gone through all the trouble if it was just a good add-on. Like a bakkie, miskien met 'n wandjie. Met 'n wandjie sonder 'n wandjie. No, you can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so too many times we catch ourselves where we try to do life without His Spirit. Somebody needs help. Thank you, Lord. I'm not sure who, dad or son. John 14:15-26. I'm going to run through it, and we're going to get stuck in one part of that. If you love me, this is Jesus at word. If you love me, speaking to his disciples, you will keep my commandments. just see how he kicks off, what he starts with, by the way. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another. So I was your first helper. I'm the helper that walks with you. But if I go, I will send you, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So there's people that for this is totally hogwash. This is nonsense to them. And they cannot see it because the world cannot see and realize the need for the Holy Spirit. But we know that we cannot do without. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You have help in you. Say, help in me. Help in me. Amen. You can go to the next slide, please. I will not leave you as orphans. Remember that. I will not leave you as orphans. So he speaks to his disciples, say, do my commandments. The Father will give you the Holy Spirit. And then he just switches over to actually a weird phrase. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. We're going to get back to that. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. How beautiful is that? The world will not see me physically no more. It's my word. But you will see me. An ever-present help in need. God, an ever-present help in need. An ever-present help in trouble. Thank you, Lord. Because I live, you also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I'm going to run through this. I'm going to stop at the last part and jump back. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, again, the commandments, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Manifest myself to him. Who needs a manifestation of Jesus to themselves? By the way, all of us. We earlier said that we all need. So that's all of us. We need Christ to be made manifest to us daily. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So Christ first. Remember Christ first. He's the center most part of our lives. Christ the King firstly and foremostly. He will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. Guys, I know I'm not going to add and say anything that you've not heard today, but I'm going to trust that it actually changes our season. You might hear and you're like, I know about the Holy Spirit. I know John 14. Yes, Retief, I've heard all of this. But is it actually changing your life? And that's my heart. That's what I put my faith out for, that it changes us. God and Jesus living, making their home in me. Making their home in me. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things that I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you. He will help you. And bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Who's this Holy Spirit? You can go to the next slide. We don't have too much time. So I just want to run through these things and we're going to stop again. And I will ask the Father. This is the Amplified. And he will give you another comforter. Who needs comfort in their times of trouble? Yes, we all need a fair bit of comfort. Who's experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit in their life? Amen. Who's too tough that and don't need comfort? Okay, cool. Just checking. Counselor. I needed some counseling. Everybody that sits in front of me needs counseling, and the Holy Spirit comes and is the counselor. Helper. Intercessor. To stand in the gap. To pray and stand in the gap. Advocate. To fight on my behalf. Every battle is the Lord's, we heard. And we sung. We sung earlier. Strengthener and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Christ with me forever. Just some of us just need to hear that again today. Christ with me forever. And then the message, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. And I think that might be for some of us a key. The help might lie in this. Are you doing and are we doing what Christ has said to us? When last have we gone through, run through the Gospels? Not saying that you need to do everything perfectly, but at least say, Lord, I want to follow Christ. I want to follow the words and the gospel message of the Bible. Not the cultural Christianity, because cultural Christianity will be without an helper, maybe. Yet biblical gospel Christianity will be with a helper. I'm running ahead. We're going to get to that now. I will talk to the Father and He will provide you another friend. Imagine that. A friend that helps you with life. You don't just, not just call a friend, like constantly live with a friend. A good friend that doesn't leave their stuff around, that doesn't eat your cheese and messes up the kitchen. A good friend. An amazing friend that cleans up after themselves and loves. And not backbite and skinner and don't reply to your WhatsApps and stuff, but a good friend. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him. Guys, I want to say, pinch yourself. You are fortunate enough to see the Spirit of God, the Helper. The eyes of your heart, you've been born again, and so you can see. Realize how privileged we are. See him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. And so, as I said earlier, you've heard about the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to regurgitate everything and all the facts about the Holy Spirit. I want to say there's two reasons why we're looking at this today. Is that, what is help again? Help means to do for someone what he or she cannot do for himself. God gave us the Spirit because we cannot do life without Him. God gave us the Holy Spirit because Christianity is impossible. Impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. Culturally, it is possible. But guess what? It's not Christianity. It's something else. It's not Christianity. And this is not a hard word. It's just the honest truth. You're not meant to. I'm not meant to do it without the friend. I'm not meant to do it without the counselor. I'm not meant to do it without the comforter, the advocate, and the helper. I'm not meant to do life without the dynamos power of the Most High God living in me. You're not supposed to do work without it. You're not supposed to do bozo without it. You're not supposed to do honeymoon or shopping or anything without the Spirit. And God is also not a control freak. And so He'll give you time. He'll give you space. He'll give you space. You decide. I'm a gentleman and I enter on invite. I'm a gentleman and I enter only on invite. Yeah, but the Spirit and the spiritual things is subject to church and maybe small group. But what is this thing? Do you want help? Do you want help? Invite Him in. He will only come into the rooms of your life that you invite Him in. That you bow your knee and say, you're welcome in. The only rooms where the Holy Spirit will be the helper is in the rooms where Christ is Lord. If there's not Lordship on that door of your life, the Holy Spirit says, I cannot be the helper there. And so there comes a time. Yes, obviously, generally in our life, firstly and foremostly, but there comes times that He comes and knocks on certain doors of your life and He says, are you willing? But remember, it's Christ first, Lordship first, and the helper steps in. I keep on getting ahead of myself. The second reason that I believe we need to look at this and the Holy Spirit and ask Him again is, as I said, I believe we're a people that need help. We can honestly say some of us are struggling and we need help. Why don't we always help, get the help? Why don't we always have the help that we need? You can go to the next slide. I said there's no pride or no unbelief. I believe the Holy Spirit and pride is like the opposite. The Holy Spirit and pride is not the best of, or not roommates at all. And so unfortunately, if pride has gotten hold of this area, this room of my life, the Holy Spirit will wait its turn for pride to leave this room before the Holy Spirit will enter this room. And so the Lordship of Christ over that room in your life is needed, and pride, unfortunately, stand in its way. Is it the end of the world? No. But if the Spirit convicts you, hey man, there's pride in your life and the way you communicate at home, Lord, I repent. Please help me. If there's pride concerning the way you spend your finances, Lord, I repent. It's as simple as that. I give lordship. Now show me how. I need help. Whatever the case may be, there's millions of examples. There you'll see verse 18 was, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now why? What does pride, unbelief, and orphans have to do with one another? Who's got kids? The younger the better. Say the younger the better. Unfortunately, these days you'll walk into a primary school and you'll see pride all over the show. Like he's like checking out that they're going to put you to the ground, and it's the weirdest thing. But the younger the better, because a child in a childlike heart does not really struggle with pride, or as much as Lee's. There's no pride there. It's like, yes, sure, come. You see, come in, man. Come on. This lacquer. Come in. But then as we get hurt, as the bumps and bruises come, as we need to fight for ourselves, as we need to help ourselves, because we can fight for ourselves, we can stand by ourselves, I can make this work. No, you can't. Nobody could. Only Christ could. Nobody else. I don't care what leader you refer to. Nobody could. The only one that could do this is Christ. Hence, we need His Spirit. And so hopefully you don't get to that space. Your heart stays soft before the King. He says, yes, come in. Have the room. Have the house. Have the farm. So pride is a battle. And so we need childlike hearts. Children don't struggle with unbelief. And children don't struggle with pride. Hence, I believe Christ was speaking to His disciples, grown men. And then He just pops over and says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you alone. In other words, orphans we would see as children. So immediately He refers to them, in a way, as children. Where do we see this elsewhere in the Word? Galatians 4:6. You can go to the next slide to see this. And because you are sons, God has sent what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. The Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying what? I'm cool. I can make this. I am the one. No. The Spirit, in fact, comes humbly and says, Abba, Father. Papa. Not, hey, come on, please. Hey, Dad. No, Papa. As a small child comes in. That's the way the Spirit comes in, humbly. So you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. And so I believe Christ goes over and He says, hey guys, I'm going to send you a helper. Firstly, hear my words, hear my commandments. If you love me, you're going to follow them. But he actually helps us with His heart. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you as orphan children. Because when the Spirit comes, and there's humility, and by the grace of God there's faith, you're going to receive a new Spirit when you get born again. And that Spirit will come with a still and small, soft voice and say, Abba, Father. This is not the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is not the Spirit of the proud. And faith is also that of children. That's the first thing. Lord, we need childlike hearts to have Your Spirit, to have help. We need to be able to get to a place where we say, we need help. And then the second point before we move on to communion is, 3.2 is holy unto. Why that? Who of you said that I need help? Just quickly. All of us, almost all of us said, I need help. In Christianity, in life, I need help. We get help by whom? An ever-present helping need. God being an ever-present helping need. Who's this ever-present helping need? The ever-present helping need is the Holy Spirit. Why is He called the Holy Spirit? Why is He called the Holy Spirit? If you love me, you'll keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give another helper. Because I believe there's a requirement for help. We said, firstly, you need a humble heart, and you need to have faith like a child. Keep your heart soft, simply. But with that, if you want help, Let's put it this way. Is the Holy Spirit holy unto me? Or is he just my helper? I would say the Holy Spirit is my helper, but he is holy unto God. What does that mean, Retief? What does that mean? I can go to the doctor for help. For what? For my health. But not with my car. The doctor is limited to help me with what? Medical or health needs. Am I right? But if I go to him with my car, I'll run into trouble. Unless you're a brilliant doctor. But you hear what I'm saying. Sometimes we get sucked into this world and we want help. But I believe the Holy Spirit helps the things of God, with the things of God, and with the things of the kingdom. Oh God, but I want the successful big business. I want to be rich, Lord. The Holy Spirit will help you with the things of the Lord. What is holiness? Holiness is this. The Hebrew word for holy is kodesh. It means apartness, set apartness, separatedness, or sacredness. In other words, the Holy Spirit has been set apart to help us with the things of the kingdom, with the things of the Lord. Does this make sense, guys? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is that sometimes we want the help, but we don't want to follow the commandments. Sometimes we want the help, but we don't necessarily want the lordship of Christ in my life. Sometimes I want the help, but the house stays mine. The proverbial one with the rooms we were in earlier. Okay. And that is maybe a place where our help gets stolen. I said, yeah, he is a helper. He is my helper where Christ is Lord. The Holy Spirit can be your helper where Christ is Lord. If Christ is not Lord, the helper's hands is unfortunately tied. The Holy Spirit is our helper, but holy unto God and his things. And so, what is the fruit that we will see in our lives as he comes and helps us? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who needs help with that, by the way? I do a lot. Amen. You guys can maybe just hand out the communion for us, please. Thank you. You guys can just, you can maybe help me. And if there's somebody else that can just start as I finish off just by giving everybody the communion. The thing is, I was in preparation yesterday. I actually had a moment where they go like this. I actually had a moment where it just hit me that I cannot do life and I cannot do what I've been called and destined to do by the Lord without serious help of the Lord. I know it sounds so simple, but I just had this moment where I realized he wants to help us. He wants to help us, but I need to open up entirely and totally for him to come through and help me with what he's called me to do. We have been called for destinies, callings, weights, fights, battles that we cannot carry, fulfill, or do ourselves. Quickly grab for yourselves. I'll repeat that just now. There's great power in taking communion. The word says that the new covenant was established by the blood. Now, man, that's just massive spiritually. To know that you are, through faith in Christ, in a new covenant with the Lord, where he writes through his Spirit his law on our hearts. And because of that new covenant, he sent whom to us? The helper, the Holy Spirit. To what? To get stuck in our old ways? Or to open up all of our rooms for his lordship and to be helped by the Lord. He is my helper where he is Lord. The Holy Spirit is also, if you go look at the word, there's a couple of names for the Holy Spirit, but it's also called the Spirit of Christ. And so it goes hand in hand today that as we take communion, firstly and foremostly, to come, if there's something that needs to be repented, please do. We don't take communion lightly. It's symbolic, yes, but it carries amazing significance and consequence. So if you even feel that you do not want to take communion this morning, please don't do it, just do it because everybody does it. Please rather refrain from that. I was just thinking of 1 Corinthians 11:27 says, Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup, the Lord, in any unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Each one must examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. What does that mean? I believe, let's just examine ourselves and say, Lord, is there areas in my life as your follower where your lordship is not reigning? And hence I'm not seeing the help of your perfect helper. And then as he convicts you, say, sorry, Lord, please forgive me and help me. As simply as that. You don't get stuck. Children don't get stuck there. But let's, with childlike faith and childlike hearts, come to the Lord in honesty today. You can go read, I'm not going to read it, Matthew 26. Maybe if you can put it up on there, Matthew 26, you can read on your own. As Christ just came and he broke the bread as his body and the blood as his the drink as his blood. We can just this morning come and say, thank you, Lord. There's still a couple of minutes, so how we're going to do this is, I've scheduled an appointment with the Lord for you for now. Obviously, the whole of your life is an appointment with the Lord, let's be honest. But this is an appointment just between you and the Lord. We're going to put on worship. But this is a place where you come and honestly say, Lord, please come and speak to me. Firstly, thank you, Christ. Thank you for your lordship in my life. And then say, in all honesty, I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. I believe in some people's lives it might be very specific. The helper wants to help you bear the fruit of the Spirit, but the helper wants to maybe bring freedom and maybe bring a prophetic word. The helper wants to take over a certain area or a relationship issue in your life. Don't know why, but I see like a swimming pool. There might be a fear for some people of some sorts, and the Holy Spirit said, I can speak into that. Whatever the case may be, the helper is there and it's been given by the Lord to come and help. You guys can put on that worship for us. Have an appointment with the Lord. Please don't be on Monday, don't be on Wednesday. Come to Christ. Share with him his body, his blood now. But also in thankfulness, come and say afresh, I want the fullness of your Spirit. I want the fullness of the helper in my life. Have some time with the Lord now.
Longer out. teach me to listen. In the morning, your mercy is new. In the morning, I listen for you. In the morning, your mercy, unpredictable mercy, calling to me, teach me to listen.
I just hear the Spirit saying to some of us, I'm not late. I don't know if there's some people that said, but I've been crying out for help. Maybe prophetically the Lord is just saying to one or two of us, I'm not late. I'm not late. Thank you, Lord, that you're not late, but that you're sovereign in whosoever situation this speaks into. Thank you, Spirit, that you come and renew. And then I believe for some of us, you're definitely opening up part of your life to the help and the rule of Christ and the help of the Spirit. But there's healing needed, and I'm putting out my faith and trust this morning, Lord, for a swift work of healing in some of our lives. Please, brothers and sisters, let's agree. But if some people are saying, yes, I'm opening up an area of, or areas of my life for the help of the Spirit, for the help of the Lordship of the Lord. But I believe we need to trust the Lord for a very swift, supernatural healing. In some of our lives, there's layers that need to be unpacked for the flow of the Spirit and the help of the Spirit. But that's nothing to God. Thank you, Christ, you did not die in vain. We speak healing in those hearts that need it this morning. Healing. Healing and restoration. Healing and restoration. The restoration of trust. The restoration of trust in the goodness of the Lord. The restoration of trust in the goodness of the Lord. See a funny picture. I see, like, it's for some of you, like, it feels like your faith has been impounded. Like, they'll take your car if you parked in the wrong space. It's like you need to go to the police station and go ask for your faith back. And I ask, Spirit of God, that you will go and those people whose faith has been impounded, that you will go and buy it back, that you will come and take it back. We ask, restore the faith unto your people where necessary. Restore the faith unto your hearts. The measures of faith that's needed, restored unto them. We ask that you come and help back callings onto the road. Come and help back callings onto the road. Destinies we call back in Jesus' name. Destinies we call back in this room. Destinies we call back in this room. Birthrights, godly birthrights. Godly birthrights we call back into the will of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you will help. Spiritual inheritance, we call it back in the name of the Lord. Relationships. I believe the help of the Spirit wants to restore and bring back relationships, God relationships. We come and buy them back by the grace of the Lord. Thank you, Spirit, you will help. Where there's a humble heart, where there's a humble and willing heart, where there's faith by grace, you will restore that and bring it back. For someone here, God is saying, I said yes. I don't know why, but I just hear God said to somebody specific here, I said yes. Make sure if it's for you, but you'll know if it's for you. I said yes. That's what I hear. We'll be done soon. Just give me a second, please. I just also saw that some of you are going to walk out here with with a friend in a new way today. This is not charismatic talk. This is faith. I believe you're going to walk out here as you've asked for today, with the Spirit as a new friend and in a new way. Got Mark 3:16, it just comes in where Christ calls his disciples and he gives them new names. He calls Simon and calls him Peter. Just, that's the scripture I got. So Lord, I just thank you that your Spirit calls out new names today, true identities. That you will speak and help people into their true destiny. As you called Simon, he thought he was a fisherman, he thought this was the totality of life. You came and helped him and said, this is who you truly are. Peter. And later on, we're reminded that you said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Lord, I call forth the destiny and callings here through the Spirit's help this morning. I believe there's some of you that God wants to give you a new name. I'll remind you, dust off the true identity and new name that He's given you. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the seed, Holy Spirit, that you've sown. Thank you that this is merely a beginning of a work that you're doing. Thank you for honest reflection. Thank you for honestly taking stock. Humbling ourselves just in asking and giving lordship of our entire lives again to Christ. And as we do that, seeing how His Spirit, how the Holy Spirit comes and helps us and enables us. Thank you, Lord, that in Jesus' name we will not walk out this place today with a sermon in our head or with a couple of points. But God, by the grace that you give us, that this season will be a change, that we walk in the help that we've been given because we cannot do life without it. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, and everybody that missed out today, thank you that you will establish that as they're part of this family, you will establish it. What happens to one happens to the family, Lord, in love. In this time, the helper will be evidently the helper in our lives because the lordship of Christ is evidently so in our lives. Lord, you said about this church in the first Sunday way back, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Holy Spirit, helper, have your way in this church. Have your way in every family. Have your way in every life, in every child, and in every marriage and friendship and relationship. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless. Have some coffee at that stunning new coffee table. Thank you, Lord. It's still instant coffee, though. We're working on that. But have some coffee. Enjoy your week. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the Holy Spirit will empower you. God bless.